on, all you slackers and survivor girls. Welcome to a special Creepin' Quickie. I'm your host, Meg.
Lunchbox.
And this week we decided to do a super fun one. The King of Lists, Lunchbox.
Yep, there's me.
We had brought up an interesting topic idea, and I thought it would make for a really cool Quickie episode.
Yeah. Well, so to set it off before we actually get into like what the idea is, we went to see He Is Legend, which is one of my favorite bands of all time. And while we were at the concert, listening, they always have like some music playing. Like,
yeah, while the setups are changing.
And what's always hilarious is that like at like the metal shows, it's always like pop tunes or something that they're playing over the loudspeaker. Well, Backstreet Boys, Backstreet's Back came on, and you and me both were like in our own heads, like jamming it so no one could see.
I was doing the dance in my head, but I wasn't about to do it at the bar.
Yeah, no, like I said, I was doing the same dance. Like, yeah. It was like you just can't help it. So,
you know what's worse is when I was in middle school, I knew that dance beat for beat.
Nice.
I can't do it now. I remember like every third step, like I'm missing some of the connective tissue.
It's
now.
Okay. I know the Napoleon Dynamite. Like it's and like I.
But there's proof of you doing that one. There's
me and my
proof.
Cousins went and trained and like studied that dance. It's awesome. So the idea that we had though was that we wanted to do our top five horror movie themed music videos.
Right. So the rules, we had to really set some concrete rules because there's a lot of music videos, especially in the hard rock and heavy metal genres, that are horror flavored anyway.
Yeah,
we were looking for ones that were specifically ripping on a horror movie in particular.
Yeah, nothing that's like Tool or, you know, Marilyn Manson, where it's like they are strictly just a horror related, nothing to do with a
right.
movie.
Yeah. They're not actually connected to a movie in any way. They're just putting horror elements into the video. Also, the songs didn't necessarily have to be connected to a horror movie in particular. Like, they didn't have to be a soundtrack song. They just had to be inspired by and riffing on something cinematic, something that already exists. So, without further ado.
Cool. So, I want to give a quick honorable mention for myself, because I can never, I hate myself.
Because you don't know how to make up your goddamn mind.
I don't, and it's like, I'm going to deal with this one, and you're going to deal with it.
All right.
But I can't mention a list about horror movies and movies, or horror movies and music without mentioning The Misfits. Misfits are one of my favorite like punk bands, and their song Scream is basically a zombie movie. It deals with a bunch of the band members actually in a hospital, and then they rise up all zombified and start slaughtering this entire hospital. But what's great about this is that it's actually directed by George Romero, and it's the only music video that George Romero's ever done, so good honorable mention.
You just like to see Doyle's abs.
It's Doyle. Like, who doesn't want to see that man's abs? Like, a big Frankenstein-looking motherfucker with, like, giant, magnificent physique? Come on. Like,
he's one of the only arguments for veganism that makes me go,
Yeah, so.
Maybe. Maybe
works.
There's something to this, instead of looking sickly.
Well, him and his girlfriend.
Alyssa Whiteglutz looks great, too.
Are you kidding me? Like, that's not even fair.
Yeah, most vegans I've known in human worlds are sickly looking, so.
So, my number five.
Who asked you?
You did.
No.
I did an honorable mention. That means,
I can go first.
Then go first. Number five. Go.
Yes, I'll do number five. My number five is Rob Zombie's Living Dead Girl. Mm. It's a direct rip, almost frame for frame, of The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Somehow they managed to cram a movie that's roughly 60-65 minutes down into about a 3.5 minute video. Sherry Moon is the titular zombie character.
That if you have to say that, it's like, you're dumb. You need to go to school. You need to, like, it's like...
Of course Sherry Moon is in a Rob Zombie joint of any kind.
Yeah, if there's a woman that is plastered on anything that's Rob Zombie, Sherry is that woman.
I can't even be mad at that, because if I was married to a woman that hot, I'd be like, I'm putting you in everything.
Yeah.
And on everything.
And the fact that she's, like, all about it. And it's like, they, I mean, I haven't seen them, like, there's never been any, like, word. I mean, again, we're not in their inner circle, so we haven't seen any, like.
Obviously.
The, you know, any, the bad blood or whatever that's in there. But it's like, whenever you see them in public, it's, like, what a sweet couple. It's just like.
It's weird. Yeah. I think they, from the outside looking in, they look like they got a good thing going.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. Yeah. And then Rob Zombie is the Dr. Caligari character. And they're doing the whole circus sideshow thing. It's in black and white. It's leaning in really heavily on the German expressionism. Like, he nails the whole look of the Caligari movie pretty much to a T. This is one of the most faithful ripoffs I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And not only that, but it's like, anytime like you hear Rob Zombie song, like I have to bounce. Like I'm just going nuts.
Good, say what you want about his music, love it or hate it. You have to admit, he's got some good grooves.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I remember where we just came back from a trip to D.C. And, you know, I was driving pretty late. You fell asleep, but then you woke up and you looked over at me and like, I think Dragula came on. And I'm like, just getting it, just and you're just cracking up because you're like, you look like a bobblehead, just like going to, just like, I was like, I can't help it, the music's got me.
Once it gets its hooks in you, it doesn't let go.
But Zombie always does that for me. It's just like, damn it.
And Living Dead Girl is so, it's one of his most well-known and iconic songs, and the video to go along with it, it came out in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. It was 98 or 99. It was a Hellbilly Deluxe track. So, good on you, Rob. This one's also one. I was really trying not to get those music videos that are on all of the lists. This is one of the ones that I couldn't avoid. It was really on all of the lists.
And the thing that's hard is that with a lot of those lists, because it's pretty short for the list that we wanted to do, because, I mean, it's not everybody does some type of horror movie rip. I mean, it's a lot of it is just a horror themed. I mean, we could sit yeah. there and go, if it's like just a song, we went straight, these are just music videos. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's...
Oh, but if there's songs, there's entire albums that are yeah. concept albums that are... And what made it really difficult was, it's actually a really hard search term to look. I plugged it into DuckDuckGo, and I was just like, why is this so difficult? I know there are more than these, like, dozen music videos that are directly ripping on a horror movie, but I was having a really, it was really a struggle to find it under the parameters that we gave ourselves. So, number five.
Now I get to do the number five?
You can do your number
five. I get
five.
To do my number five.
Do your turn.
I'm going to start off with this thing pretty heavy. I'm going to go with Cradle of Filth from Cradle to Enslave. And this isn't ripping on any particular movie. It's more ripping on a style of movie.
Yes.
It's going based off of the Hammer films and a lot of like the... Kind of like that 70s, 80s Italian horror films.
Mostly the
70s. A lot of like the dramatic Italian horror movies.
Yeah, this leaned in. What I really appreciate is Cradle Filth being from the UK. You know, just by looking at Danny Filth, that he was fed a very steady diet of Hammer horror growing up.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. And he is very... He admits it. Like, he's unabashedly like, I love my Hammer horror.
Yeah, he loves everything horror.
But as cheesy yeah. and as goofy and as, like, Roger Corman-y as it gets sometimes, Hammer's good stuff. And I can see why he would want to incorporate some of that yeah. into... his music videos.
So, I mean, the premise of the video itself is that the band shows up at this castle, and they are greeted by a this like mutant, and the band goes in. They start playing, and it turns out that they're playing underneath a kind of like a giant other like mongoloid creature, and so while they're playing, they are getting sucked into almost kind of like a dream, but it's like it's their own nightmare. Mm. And so each band member like has their own different, or it has like a different, situation. Like there's one guy, who is, basically a murderer. Like he's killing this woman, but he doesn't want to type of thing. Another one is, I think it's the drummer. He is walking up to a woman who's pretty, full frontal and
boobies.
Yeah, like super sexy and everything like that.
It's not Cradle of Filth video without boobies.
Yeah, yeah. And but then like she has a razor blade in her mouth.
Bridge of Steel.
Yeah, and she slits his throat. Danny Filth. His is super gothic and, he's caressing this woman's hand, and then the camera backs out a little bit, and you can see that her hand is coming out from the ground. So it's a half, buried woman. And then all of a sudden, he looks up, and there's a woman that's standing over, and it's just, this whole, gothic horror thing, and then...
Probably one of the ickiest parts of that whole video is the women standing over the tubs with the violin. They have the violin bows made of glass, and they're cutting their forearms up. Just bleeding into the bathtub. And then a woman comes up out of the blood, which is... They play with the Bathory thing a lot.
They love Bathory. They have a whole, album
But that's what I'm saying. It's not just the whole concept album. If they can squeeze Erisabeth Bathory into anything, they're squeezing her in somewhere.
It's awesome. But, what's great is that there's different versions of, there's a standard version, and then there's, a director's cut. So...
There's a director's cut of a fucking music video?
The unedited is basically what it is. So the women that are taking the violin,
the bows
to their wrist, you don't see it cutting into them. You just see them playing their own wrist, and then you see the tub of blood. Mm-hmm. But in the unedited, you actually see them cutting into their wrist, and they're just gushing blood.
And it grosses me out.
Yeah.
A lot. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, but I was just like, oh my God, it's so metal. It's like, Jesus.
So metal.
But yeah, then the woman coming out of the tub of blood, I was like, that's great. But then the video ends up ending where, so each band member's had their own evil shown to them. And then the big mongoloid that's sitting above them kind of sucks their soul, and then Danny's eyes are bloodshot red, and they just are possessed, and then this thing, the floor opens up, and then they just kind of not sucked down, but then they almost an elevator, they just get taken down into this pit, and then it seals up, and then that's the end of the video. And it's just but they were doing it to, oh, and as the video's going on, all these weird little golem creatures are coming out, and it's just really, really bizarre. And it's just
they pull out some weirdo shit.
It's
and
good.
I give them all the credit in the world
it's
for
good,
that.
It's good. All right, yeah. And so this will be your number four.
Yeah. Mine, we already mentioned. It's the Backstreet Boys, everybody.
Hey.
Backstreet's back. All right. This one doesn't riff on one movie in particular. It riffs on all of them. They take all of the Universal monsters and lump them all together in one big spooky castle. The boys are on a tour bus. The tour bus breaks down, and the nearest place to shelter from the storm is this big spooky mansion. And the bus driver's like, hey, I'm going to go get help to fix the broke down bus. And the boys are like, okay, well, I guess we have no choice but to stay here for the night. And they all go to bed, and they all have the same nightmare. nightmare. Not really a nightmare. The same dance break in their dreams. Nick Carter is the mummy. Brian Luttrell is the Wolfman. AJ McLean is the Phantom. Howie Doro is a Dracula type. And Kevin Richardson is playing the Jekyll and Hyde character. I have to say, though, Howie DeRose isn't directly riffing on the Bela Lugosi character. His is playing more on the Gary Oldman character from Bram Stoker's Dracula in the 90s. Because he's a lot more dressed up. He's got the top hat, the glasses. He's playing more into the sex appeal that was given in
We're not talking about the one where it looks like, you know, boobs on his head.
No. We're talking about Victorian-looking Dracula, where he's got the John Lennon blue glasses on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the good Gary Oldman.
Well, he shapeshifted quite a lot in that movie. He had a few different looks, but I'm talking about the suave one where he's going to go get Mina. Yeah. That look.
Not the Palpatine.
Yeah, no.
With boobs on his head.
Yeah, so they have to spend an overnight at this haunted house type thing. However, one of the curious things I've noticed as I was an adult that it didn't bother me when I was a teenager, because I was a teenager. This song was recorded when Nick Carter was 15 years old, and he's the one singing the "Am I Sexual" line. Even though the video was made when he was like 17 or 18, the song itself was recorded several years prior for the European release of the Backstreet Boys album.
I never knew that. That's really creepy.
Nick Carter was only 14 or 15 when he recorded that line. So, as an adult, I'm actually incredibly uncomfortable listening to it now.
That's scary on its own.
Yeah. And the only one...
You know your answer was like, yes, yes, you are. Yes, you are. It's like, oh, God, I'm dirty.
And now at 34, granted, Nick Carter's 5 years older than me, but now... In my 30s, I'm like, ooh, am I okay with singing along to, you know, a teenage boy singing a line that is wholly inappropriate, considering there were the guys of age in the group at the time. Like, you could have given the line to one of them. I don't know. It's a bit dodgy. Yeah. So I don't know if there's some gray area or if I'm just a little uncomfortable and I shouldn't be, but as an adult, I'm like, but anyway... Yeah, and Howie is the only one getting the girl in the videos. You can see they're all kind of surrounded by women, except for Brian. He's alone turning into the Wolfman in his bedroom, but Howie gets to get all, like, sexy on a girl's neck, and they have the big, famous dance scene in the middle of the ballroom, which is... the choreography plays on the Thriller choreography a little... but it was definitely updated more for that late 90s time period. I still love the video to this day. I have no complaints.
Well, no, and that's where it's like when we went to go see He Is Legend, like, and the song came on, I turned to you, and like I could see it in your eyes where you're just like, don't move. Don't move. Don't do it. I'm going to dance. Don't do it. And it's like, and you just can't help but shake your rump. Like, it's a total rump shaker.
It really is. It's really, really fun. It made me want to put YouTube on and relearn the choreography over again, which I haven't even attempted to do since I was 13 years old. So.
But, I mean, and that's, and they are the reason for this list. So,
yeah. But hey, who wants to see a plus-size mother of two dance some Backstreet Boys choreography? Yay! Nobody? You'll do it with me. Come on, Lunchy. All right, what's your number?
You know I'll shake it.
What's yours?
All right, so...
Number four.
I'm going to go German on this one, kids. Ah. We're going with Rammstein, Engel. And this is coming from the 1997 Sehnsucht. And I know I'm probably butchering that, but fuck it, I'm Southern.
It was close.
this movie, one is ripping on the movie From Dusk Till Dawn. And
actually in a really funny way.
Yeah.
Because it's not at all like you'd expect. And from Dusk Till Dawn, the Salma Hayek character, the snake charmer stripper, she turns into a...
Hold on. I need a moment.
Oh, yeah. She's
we know that Salma Hayek is my go-to, so...
She's so... and she's so pretty. So I'll let you have your, I'll let you marinate in your moment here.
I'm gonna marinate over here. You continue talking.
Right. So they have a woman playing the Salma Hayek character from Dusk Till Dawn, and she feeds this blonde dude whiskey by pouring it down her leg. She puts her foot in his mouth. She pours the whiskey down her leg, and he drinks it that way.
And it's like not just like a toe in his mouth. Like, I mean, it's like whole goddamn foot.
Yeah, like half her foot is in his face. And so she pours the whiskey in there. So if you're a, if you're fetishy about it, you can go wee when you watch it. However, instead of turning into a sexy snake vampire stripper, she turns into the blonde dude who sucked on her toes.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I'm not like super like happy about. It's like, because it didn't make sense.
You also didn't get the sexy snake dancer. And then the entire band goes full Tarantino and lights up the bar.
Yeah, like that was the only thing. Was like, okay, yeah. So the band, was it that they were going, they were fighting against the evil snake woman, but why? Like she turned into a blonde dude. Like there wasn't anything that was like
She was less threatening after she transformed.
Yeah. However, the song itself, I thoroughly enjoy. Like, I mean, I've enjoyed ever since, like, I've heard, like, I think this is, like, one of the first Rammstein songs that I actually, like, heard.
That wasn't Du Hast.
And, like, this one, like, it's just constantly. It's another one, just like the Rob Zombie stuff, where it's, like, Rammstein comes on and I'm just bouncing. Like,
Rammstein cracks me up because they have a video for every occasion. You want porn? They got it. You want horror? They got it. You want fire? They got it in spades.
Spades, homie. But like, yeah, I mean, like, I call them the T2 of
everything is on fire.
Yeah, I mean, they got such a awesome stage show, and it's like I really hope, like, there's a rumor that they're supposed to be coming to the U.S. and I'm like, that would be amazing to go see.
Well, then maybe you can see Engel in person.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
My number three. On to number three. We've been watching a lot of Aladdin lately. Thanks, kids. Fall Out Boy. A little less 16 Candles, a little more Touch Me. I'm going not industrial with this one.
No, you're not.
Not even a little bit. If you're curious, this one is an interesting mashup of Blade and the Lost Boys, sprinkled with a little bit of the Warriors on top. Now, the Warriors isn't, obviously not a horror movie, but they make it a point to lean in very heavily on the vampire movie element. So it's very clearly an homage to Blade. It's very clearly an homage to the Lost Boys. Pete Wentz is our vampire hero, taking on the Blade role. I'll let you guys sit on that one for a second. Pete Wentz is Blade. Okay. Patrick Stump, the lead singer, plays Whistler, who is trying to keep Pete's character in check from going all, like, bloodlusty. And Pete's character, he fights other vampires. One of the best parts about this video is it is chock full of Fueled by Ramen cameos. They fight the last remnants of Panic at the Disco at this point before Brandon Urie is the solo surviving member. Travie McCoy from Gym Class Heroes is there, who I'm happy when he shows up at anything. And William Beckett from The Academy Is shows up as the lead bad guy vampire. And he's got the suave, debonair look about him. And the Panic at the Disco guys have a little bit of a Clockwork Orange vibe because they've got the bowler hats and the white suits. But they're also vampires. They're bad guys. And come to find out, the Andy and Joe, the other two members of Fall Out Boy, are basically like the Frog Brothers. In this movie, they play the sidekicks to Pete and Patrick, but they definitely have a Frog Brothers vibe to them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I almost expected one of them to be like, some of them implode, some of them explode, some go screaming, some go quietly. Like, I was not expecting.
Oh, my God.
Like, I can't wait to do that movie.
This is not gonna. I'm gonna rip that thing to shreds. Like, oh my
god. Oh, it's so bad. It's good. Yeah. But yeah, that one's. I had forgotten about that one for a while. That one's a last minute entry. I had to actually, like, yeah. It popped into my head and I was like, ooh, I have to go back and look at that
one. On a nice little love note, like, that was one of the first songs that you and me, like, really connected on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was that in 36 Crazy Fist, but, like a yes. song that you were just like.
the listeners yeah. have to be like, what?
Yeah. So go listen to 36 Crazy Fist. They're amazing.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
Come back after you've heard Slit Wrist Theory, and then we'll have a conversation.
Yeah. All right.
Your number three.
All right. So my number three is one of my favorite death metal bands. It's the Black Dahlia Murder. So not only is their name
a horror reference.
Yeah. It's like the song itself is Everything Went Black. And this is a music video ripping on Creepshow. Hard.
So hard.
It is like.
Like beautifully, fully ripping on each segment of Creepshow. Oh my God. And it's amazing.
So this is from my favorite. It's the, I think it's the title track from my favorite album, Nocturnal. And it's just like, this thing just rips. Like it is just front to back. Like I was at, like when you watched the music video, like I was half expecting you to go, like, I can't do this. Like I can't listen to this. But
no, I wouldn't. Outside of the context of the video, there's no way I would ever listen to it. But the video caught my attention, and I was like, I gotta see this through to the end. It was great.
I like just the music rips, and it's amazing. So it starts off with they start the music video off, and to back myself up, they actually are filming the whole music video as a comic book.
Yeah.
Like, so
no, it's fully, they committed to Creepshow when they did this.
Yeah. And like, so the band is actually playing like their instruments, like in like the comic panels and stuff. Like it's so damn good. But they start off with the segment, The Box, and it deals
with the crate.
They call it The Box and Creepshow.
Okay. It's the crate.
It was the Got crate. It. So they call it The Box, and it deals with the bass player, Bart. And they're the main guitar player, like the head of Black Dahlia Murder, Brian, who is funny as shit. Like him and Trevor are hilarious. But Brian, man, like he's a hoot. But yeah, so
he's a hoot and a nanny.
Bart finds the box and he's just like, oh man, like I wonder what's inside it. And then Brian looks over and he goes, it's probably just old magazines. Like And so as the song's playing, like they have like word bubbles, like comic, like mm-hmm. word panels, like pop up, and that's where you're reading the story. Which I was like, that's genius, where they could actually get like dialogue.
That was the only thing. Way they were gonna manage to condense Creepshow down to like a 3.5 minute rock video.
Yeah. So they go and they open up the box and they do the whole thing where they show the beast inside and he ends up taking Bart. And as like Bart is being dragged up into the box, Brian, like his face, like in that Creepshow style where it's just like, you know, the just that full front face. And he's just like, Bart, oh no. It's just like, like just the cheesy, like just bad acting kind of thing. But it's just like, but you can just get the expression on his face because you can't actually hear what he's saying. And it's just like. It's really good. But then it moves into the next segment, which is the lonesome death of Shannon Lucas, which is their drummer, or was their drummer at the time. And it goes through the whole thing of like the
Jordy Verrill story.
The Jordy Verrill. So same thing. He touches, you know, meteor shit and then ends up.
Kid, you broke it.
Yeah, and then he ends up, turning all vegetation. Like, so they do that whole segment. Then it moves into what was my favorite segment of Creepshow, which was Something to Tide You Over.
Go back to listen to that episode, Kevin.
Yeah, go listen to that episode.
We did that movie already.
Yeah. But yeah, Something to Tide You Over, where the lead singer, Trevor... he's the one that's being buried up to his neck in the sand, and their old ex-guitar player, John, is the one that is, you know, the sinister man that, mm-hmm. that buried him. Well, then it turns out where he, you know, they go through the whole segment where the tide takes him over, and then John is back at home, and then Trevor and his, the girlfriend, show back up, and they're completely zombified, and they do that whole bit. So it's like, it's pretty damn awesome. Like, they did a really, really good job. But yeah, I mean, so that's my number two, and I'm like,
it's number three.
Or three. Yeah. It's like number one and number two, like on like a lot of like my death metal. I have other lists, like, so that's kind of there. So
we have so many creeping quickies, you guys, in our back pocket because he's the list guy.
Yeah. So but yeah, but that's yeah. So number three is the Black Dahlia murder, and you rule. I love him.
And number two. I chose for my neck of the woods, Ice Nine Kills and their song A Grave Mistake from the Silver Screams concept album. They did an entire... Okay, so I don't really pay much attention to Ice Nine Kills. I've seen them kicked around. I've seen a lot of their fans. They were at Welcome to Rockville concert we were at last year, but got rained out, so we weren't actually able to see them. However...
God, we will not talk about that day. I was so mad. God, so mad.
So anywho, they did an entire, I really wasn't aware much of their existence. A girl I work with, they're her favorite band, and I was like, okay. It's kind of like when someone is like, my favorite band is like Linkin Park, and I'm like, or Yellow Card. We have a friend whose favorite band is Yellow Card. I'm like, really? That's nobody's favorite band, but okay. However, their Grave Mistake song from the Silver Scream album was riffing on The Crow. Every single song on that album was turned into a video. So from beginning to end, they turned the whole thing into a movie, and they managed to make each song, which is based on different horror movies, flow together. I chose this one because I love The Crow. And they did a little twist on the makeup, the Joker makeup that Brandon Lee wore. They actually made it a little more Misfits makeup. They did the Doyle makeup. So they had the shaded out cheeks and the blacked out eyes on top of the Joker makeup. And then they had all the knife fight scenes from the movies. The whole song itself is about the movie plot. It's about their lead singer is taking the Eric Draven role. And he's singing about how his fiance was killed and they're about to be married and how he has to go avenge her death, and it's this whole thing. And The Crow was one of my favorite movies growing up because goth kid. I don't apologize for it. We all have a goth phase. And if you say you didn't, you're a liar. But I really like this one. I thought they did a pretty fair job of paying respects to a movie that has become notorious and infamous and is held in pretty high regard by most horror fans. I waffled a little bit on this one because some would argue The Crow isn't quite a horror movie.
Yeah, but I'm gonna let you have this one because Ice Nine, like, that's all Ice Nine Kills is. You could sit there and pick it out, and it's just like, and because they did a video for each one of the songs, I'll allow it.
Well, like, you can also argue The Crow is a horror movie because there's murder, there's supernatural elements, there's a constant threat. It just toes the thriller line a little harder than I think most.
Yeah, it's there. Now, for Ice Nine Kills, though, I am going to throw my hat in for the best video is the It song they did, which It Is the End. That song fucking rips, and it deals with my favorite character, Pennywise. So
there you go.
There you go.
Number two?
My number two is my favorite music artist of all time. And I'm not, and if you're keeping track here, kiddies, I got a lot, but this is my platinum artist.
Craig's open-minded. He likes all the things.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with Strapping Young Lad, and this is Love. Or
love?
Love?
Because there's a question mark. There's
a question mark. Yeah. Love? So, Devin Townsend, or Heavy Devi, as his friends like to call him, is my favorite artist of all time. Like, he has everything that I love about, like, just metal music. Like, he is, you know, the atmosphere is perfect. Like, he can get death metal. He can get just operatic.
He can sing. He can scream. He can compose.
With ease. Like,
plays a real mean guitar.
He's funny as shit.
He makes vocal coaches weep.
Yeah. Like, literally. Like, there's YouTube videos where there's this woman, like, she's watching, like, just one of his, I think it's the song Kingdom, from the Devin Townsend project, and she literally, like, halfway through, like, starts crying. Like, she's like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. Like, this is great. Like, he is phenomenal. So, Strapping on Lad, though, this is when me and my best friend Brock used to make jokes about it because we couldn't believe that somebody would do this. This is when Devin Townsend used to have the skullet. He would, like, so now, now he is beautifully bald, baby. But at the time, during Strapping on Lad, he had this, like, ridiculous...
He couldn't let go of the dreads.
Yeah, he had these dreads, like, really long dreads, but he was completely bald on top. And it was just the most weird, and he was awkward-looking man.
Like, naturally going bald. Like, it wasn't he shaved his head that way, it was the hair fell out, and he had male pattern baldness.
Like, Homer Simpson went and did, like, a Bob Marley phase. Mm-hmm. Like, it was ridiculous. But, like, and with Strapping on Lad, it was very chaotic, and Devin was going through some pretty rough times, little, drugs and alcohol, things like that, and he was just very, it was kind of a dark time for him, but for this song, like, this is their biggest song. Like, if you've said Strapping on Lad to any, like, metal fan, Love? Is gonna, come up pretty high on the list. And again, I fall victim. I love a bunch of their music, but that is, like, my go-to song. Now, this video, it rips on The Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. And there is there's a number of different videos that it's, like, The Evil Dead is, like, a go-to for music videos ripping. I think, like, Lordy does it.
Evil Dead's an easy one.
Foo Fighters did it. Like, yeah. It's
an easy one. It's like the Shining. It's real easy to rip on.
Yeah. So, for this video, it's pretty standard. They kind of focus more...
It's a jam video.
Yeah, they focus more on the jam, but it's... what's great is that the camera starts off on the tape recorder, and the tape recorder, you hear it turn on. Like, it clicks, and you start seeing it spin, and then all of a sudden, the music starts playing.
So their music is the pages of the Necronomicon.
Pretty much.
Bringing the evil in.
And so as they're playing it, like, you can see, like, the clock is spinning, and they're doing the whole, like, Sam Raimi, like, the different kind of, like, camera zooms and things like that. And then, like, they're zooming in on, like, the band members at different, like, different angles, like, just kind of making it a little unsettling. And then what's really cool, though, is... So they do this, like, really neat little thing with, like, this light bulb. So this light bulb is in this middle of this really, like, this pitch black room. And so when it comes near their face, all you can see is them. It would come near them, and then there would be, like, a flash. And then you could see them, like, all, like, dead-eyed. And they were just all, like, super, like, zombie-looking, looked gnarly. I was like, that was pretty neat. So, I mean, it's a straightforward video. There's no, like... story behind it. It's just the band in there, and they turn evil.
And they're in a cabin in the woods summoning demons. Yeah. Like you do.
Yeah. But it's Devin Townsend. And like for this recording, we'll actually be going to see Devin.
By the time this drops, we'll have seen him already.
Yeah, okay. So that's it. So mm-hmm. But I mean I'm pretty excited. Like I love seeing Heavy Debbie.
So. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
I got him the tickets for Christmas.
I'm so excited. But yeah, so that's my number two is love.
It's fun that it's like you have to force yourself to say it that love? Way. Because you almost do it like it's the Pantera song where it's like love. But it's not. It's
nope. love.
Because there's a question mark. Can I draw my honorable mention before I do my number one?
Yeah.
Because I bumped this song for Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I bumped this song was because it's another one that's on all the lists. And since I had done Rob Zombie at the beginning, I was like, I don't know if I want to do two that are real easy to see on like any rock.
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of videos. So, for my honorable mention, it was 30 Seconds to Mars, The Kill, which...
Bury Me.
They are completely ripping on The Shining. Yeah. Completely. From beginning to end. Each band member is doing one of the iconic bits from the movie. So they all play Jack Torrance, essentially. But they're playing Jack Torrance in each different scene. So Matt, their bass player, was in the bar scene. Jared was... probably the most Jack, he was Jack Torrance, the writer. His brother Shannon, the drummer, he was the Jack who wandered into room 237 in the video because copyright laws. It was room 6277. The Danny, they kind of mashed Danny and Wendy together. They had Tomo, their guitar player, playing that hybrid version of that. His was really funny because he was wandering around and he saw there was the furry scene. Yep. Where there's the furry on his knees and the guy on the bed, and the guy who was laying on the bed getting the blowjob sits up and he sees it's himself getting a blowjob from a furry in a dog suit. They're having a big black tie party. 30 Seconds to Mars is the band that's playing the party. Jared Leto's losing his mind throughout the whole thing. They didn't, in the room 237 scene, Shannon Leto, the drummer, he, instead of the woman he's making out with getting leprosy, her skin just starts to fall off.
Yeah.
She doesn't turn into an old woman or anything, or a leper, but, she starts to, like, bleed. Like, her skin looks like it's just sort of flaying away from the body.
Still pretty awesome.
The biggest reason I wanted to mention it is not because, I mean, it obviously deserves to go on the list because it is so obviously an homage to The Shining. Even though I'm not a super fan of the movie, I really like that they respectfully pay tribute to it. It's because this is a song I would scream my head off in the car to when it came out. I listened to that Beautiful Lie album all the fucking time. And I hadn't listened to it in years. And when I was doing research for this episode and The Kill came up, I was just like, man, I forgot how much this song rips. And I would just remember being like losing my shit in the car singing along to it.
This song was another one for me that was like, this song, like the album, I didn't really like dive into it as much as like, not a huge 30 Seconds to Mars fan. I mean, I'm kind of partial to Jared Leto himself, but I mean,
you mean you don't like Jared Leto?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, when you say you're partial to him, it means you like him.
Oh, sorry, partial.
Yeah, you're okay, impartial.
Anyway. Impartial there, but it's like I'm kind of like 50-50 on him. Like, I like some of his work, and then it's like, when I see him in person sometimes, like, kind of...
Well,
like,
you like, saw him, you saw 30 Seconds to Mars open for Taking It Back Sunday, and he was a colossal douche nozzle.
Yeah, so. It's not a fun show to see, and it was bad. But The Kill, it's like, I mean, like, Jared Leto, he fucking sing his ass off.
Mm-hmm. He's super talented.
It's super, like, I mean, again, like, I'm not dogging the talent whatsoever. It's more of just personal stuff, but it's just like, but I mean, still, it's
you're
like
dogging his personality.
Yeah, but no, I mean, but like, but The Kill, fuck man, that song is good. Like, yeah, it is a good song.
Yeah, yeah, that's one where I'm gonna have to go back and listen to the whole album. Okay,
I might have to as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
but yeah,
come on, you remember Attack?
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
You're screaming at the top of your lungs.
I'm gonna have to revisit that album because I don't remember.
I'm gonna have to start listening to more 30 Seconds to Mars and Taking Back Sunday again because they're both kind of on that same wavelength.
I mean, I'm big on Taking Back Sunday, so I'm well aware of them, but it's like 30 Seconds to Mars, it's like I was very hit and miss with
them. Okay, ready for number one?
Go for number one.
My number one is The Lords of Rock. Iron Maiden.
Ooh.
I chose their song, The Wicker Man.
Nice.
Because in the video, they did...
A Wicker Man.
The Wicker Man.
The Wicker Man.
The 1973 horror movie starring Christopher Lee, The Wicker Man.
That's awesome.
And I love that movie.
The song is good, too.
Yes, the song is amazing. It came out in 2000. 2000. I don't know. It's at least 20 years old. But, the video plays the last couple scenes of the movie. So I can't wait to do this one because I genuinely love the Wicker Man movie. Not whatever that Nicolas Cage thing was that came out in the 2000s. I'm talking about like the Lord Summer Isle, Christopher Lee version of like all the culty goodness of that movie. So the whole, it's a jam session because it's Iron Maiden. Duh. And, Eddie is basically the Lord Summer Isle character of this thing. And there's the man who's playing the inspector. He's running out of town because at this point where they're picking up where the movie was is when the inspector realizes that there's something really wrong with the town and they're after him. And so he's trying to book it out of there and Eddie keeps him from leaving. And so he's running back through the field, and there's a huge, I think it was a curtain there, and the curtain comes down, and he sees the band up on the stage, and Bruce Dickinson is in the Lord Summer Isle position, and then there's a whole group of people, the audience, and they all turn around, and their faces are normal at first, and then they all turn into Eddie. And
it's so awesome.
It's so cool. It's so good. So they all run. They run the inspector down. They pick him up. They're carrying him up over their heads, like crowd surfing style. And they're carting him off to the giant Wicker Man where they throw him in and set him on fire. To which the last minute of the song plays. The Wicker Man starts to crumble. Inspector's dead. And everyone's excited. Their blood is pumping because it was a ripping Iron Maiden song.
It's so good. Good. I
had to dig for that one, too. The internet made me work for that one.
Love it. again, good for you. And I love it. That's why I married you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a little bit of a low-hanging fruit for my number one. And to kind of go off of the Shining reference, I'm going to go with Slipknot for Spit It Out. I have been a maggot since day one. Like, first moment I saw those
down
guys.
Since day one-ish.
Oh, my God. Like, it's... Like, ever since I saw those masks, like, and I heard, you know, Wait and Bleed, and it was Sick, I think, was one of the first songs I actually heard from them. I was fucking hooked.
Yeah.
And
you were in.
And so I was a Shining fan, you know, or I've always been a Shining fan, but
go back and listen to that episode.
Yeah, go listen to that one. But when the video for Spit It Out came out, it blew my mind because they do just like with the 30 Seconds of Mars, where each, you know, they put each one of the band members in a Shining scene.
And they splice it with concert footage.
Yeah. And the concert footage, like, this is like early Slipknot. So, I mean, this is like when
this is a self-titled album, so this is when it was violent.
Yeah, when they're like thrashing around like
everyone's getting hurt. The band members are puking in their masks.
Yeah, it's intense. They're getting pretty epic with it. Well, and so in the video, there's a bunch of like really awesome little spots. One of my favorites is a Joey Jordison.
Like, oh my god, yes, he's the Danny character.
He's Danny, and he's on this little like big wheel, but it's made to look like a tricycle, and he's just going down. But he's like, he's wearing his kabuki mask.
Yeah.
And he's
but
just
he's
like
in the overalls and everything.
And he's just like going to town, and it's just a very unsettling image.
It is, but I also laughed because I was like, who else would they have put on the trike? Joey's the only one that would have fit.
I know, it's great. But then then he turns the corner, and he's in front of the twins, and all of a sudden, you see two girls, but then it flickers, and then it's Clown and Chris Finn, the dude with the long nose, the Pinocchio nose. They're in dresses, and they're just, like, standing there all creepy looking. Like, I'm like, that's fucking unsettling. Like, that's,
it's pretty fucked up. Because a lot of us know what Clown looks like with the mask off. So now I picture Clown with the mask off in a dress.
Whew. Yeah. Another one that's really, really, really funny to me is... Jim Root. So I don't know if you remember that scene where he's playing the Shelley Duvall character. So,
oh yeah, he's swinging the baseball bat at Corey.
He's in the dress. He's in the brown dress in his like Joker, like the jester mask. Like this is like right when he, because before the album came out, they couldn't figure out what mask to put him in. So he had just a bondage mask. Like, it was just this black leather...
Oh, he had the gimp mask.
The gimp mask. And he hated it. And so then, that's when he ended up, like... It was a little bit later, he found the jester mask, and it works perfectly
for him. Yeah, he's still wearing it. Version of it now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he just kind of keeps, altering it. Like, it's...
Well, now he's opening up more because he can't fit his beard under it anymore.
Yeah, he has, this giant, massive beard, so he has to cut the bottom part of the mouth out. It's just, like...
Just okay, let the beard flow.
Sure. But he's playing the Shelley Duvall character, and there's a couple of scenes where, there's the one where... So, Corey Taylor is playing the Jack Torrance character, so he's doing the whole,
put him in the fucking cardigan.
Yeah, he's like, give me the bat, he's like, just give me the, and so he's in, Jim Root's and the Shelley Duvall thing, swinging the bat, but there's a better one where...
And Jim Root's a big man.
Yeah, and there's a better scene where it's really quick, but he does the run. When she's running up the stairs, and she's like rabbit hands, just the floppy, he's doing that, and it's like running up the stairs, and then he turns and sees I forget who it is. I think it's Craig Jones. I think he's it's supposed to be the furry scene, but Craig Jones, the dude with
the spikes in his head.
The at this time he's wearing the underwater the scuba helmet, but with the spikes on it. It's pretty normal. Yeah, but just Craig Jones, just turns around, and he just, looks, and it's just okay. All right, it's fine.
It's fine. He's next to useless in the band, but anyway.
But one of the funny scenes that I thought was really, for me, was funny, was seeing Corey Taylor being the Jack Torrance bit at the bar, because at this point, this is when you got, Alky Corey Taylor. So it's just funny to see, that's where...
It made sense.
Yeah.
It was in a warped way because he's sober now, but it was a struggle to get there.
I mean, when Stone Sour, really got going, when that first album dropped, there was a show down here in Florida, Earth Day Birthday, and I ended up getting backstage passes with my buddy Brock. And we actually got to meet Corey Taylor, and it was really cool. We actually, we're sitting down backstage, and he just kind of just came over and sat down and was talking with everybody around there, and ended up telling us a story about how his he just got off the phone with his grandmother, and she just yelled at him for drinking Jack in the morning. And it's just 10
o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. And we were like, okay, but this is, like I said, right when it's getting into that stone, it's
peak alcoholic quarantine. Yeah.
So, but I was like, that was really cool. But yeah, so it was a really good Shining, rendition, and they did the creepy, maze scene with
Corey. I'm really impressed that they managed to make it work because the song is so short.
Yeah.
Spit It Out's barely 3 minutes long.
Yeah, it's
I think it's just under 3 minutes.
And on top of that, splicing in all of the live concert bits too.
I'm sure that was a blast to shoot for a video.
Oh my God.
And they made it creepy as hell, but somehow they managed to get all of the main scenes from the movie into a roughly 3-minute video.
They put the Slipknot energy of that song into the
video. Oh, it was just chaos.
It's so good.
Even in the Shining scenes, like the Knot concert scenes, it was absolute chaos and it was creepy.
It's good.
Yeah. So that was, for not being a fan of the movie, I really enjoy the Shining music videos.
So I think what I might actually end up doing is, like, when we do lists like this, what I might do is I'll see if I could put up, I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone's got some type of, like, Spotify or Apple Music. I might do a playlist and do, like, our top five, and you can find us there. Or I'll post something. So if you want to go and take a listen to any of these, you know, tracks or see any of these videos, like, I'll post something to our Facebook and Instagram at Creepin' It Real, and that way you guys can all see it.
Yeah, cool. So. That's it. That wraps up this creeping quickie that went a little bit longer than I think we intended to. I think we're like 10 minutes over than what we planned on doing, 10 or 15 minutes. But anyway, that's half the fun. It's all the editing.
Word.
But yeah, this was fun. It takes a little bit of poking and prodding to get me on the list bandwagon, but once I'm on it, it's actually fun to start digging around and finding content.
I think what we might do to make it a little easier, we'll just do songs, like not music videos. We'll do songs, and that way I have a little bit more of a gamut to.
There's a lot more room. Yeah. There's a lot more room, wiggle room in there. However, if any of you out there are favorite slashers and survivor girls listening to us right now, if you have any of your favorites that we didn't mention here on this episode, go ahead and drop us a comment on either our Facebook or Instagram, both at Creepin' It Real, R-E-E-L as in movie reel. If you have any show ideas or movies you'd like to see us rate, review, or roast, please feel free to send them to us at creepinitreal.cm@gmail.com. If you really, really love our show, and we hope that you do, hit up our Redbubble page, creepinitreal.redbubble.com, and buy some merch, stickers, mugs, t-shirts especially. I have a super sweet Survivor Girl tote bag. All of our designs are 100% created by Lunchbox, and all of the proceeds from you are 100% reinvested into this podcast, so we can continue to provide you guys with some super content and a lot of marital banter and maybe some light arguing.
Yeah.
That's half the entertainment.
It always is.
It's always fun.
It's just eye roll city.
So. All right. So thank you guys once again. Like, share, subscribe, comment. If you do subscribe to us, you will find us every single Tuesday in your favorite podcatcher, whichever your podcatcher of choice is. And the Creepin' It Quickies, we drop them sporadically whenever we feel like there's something we want to cover. So those will just sort of pop up as happy little surprises. It's like the cherry on top of your sundae or the whipped cream on your milkshake.
I'll go with that one.
Yeah.
I'll go with that until I can think of a better one.
Yeah, but your latte is free. All right, guys. Until next week, I have been Meg.
I've been Good Buddy Lunchbox.